For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Let me read once again Proverbs 28:4. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with the wicked. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand our responsibility biblically. I could spend the balance of the day walking through the scripture, pointing out our responsibility as Christians to stand for truth, not be afraid of hurting someone's feelings. I'm not saying going out here and roughshod over people. That's not the point at all. But let me put it very simply this way. Whatever church you're in, whatever denomination you're in, simply privately, not publicly, privately ask your pastor, what is your stand on Islam? Should we be against it? Should we embrace it? Is Islam dangerous or not? And if he can't answer those questions, if he refuses to answer those questions, you need to simply ask him why. And may I just give you a simple answer? It's because of a fear of alienating people, a fear of hurting some Democrats' feelings, because we're in the crescendo of a demonic battle today through the lives and the hearts of human beings. We're witnessing today the demoralization, the absolute diminishing of what we call morals and ethics and values in our nation. It takes pastors, ladies and gentlemen, to stand for righteousness and for truth. I'm looking at a headline that illustrates it so vividly for me. Resist Islam. Pastors share gospel in Dearborn, Michigan as protesters fight Islamification. Many Americans are expressing concerns about the rise of Islam in the country, and that has led to some heated moments recently in Dearborn, Michigan, as a pastor confronted the city council for Islamic law, while on another front, Christian ministers are reaching Muslims with the gospel and discipling them who turn to Christ. Last week, a tense rally against Islamification in Dearborn, led by conservative activists and Detroit pastor Lorenzo Sewell, degenerated into disorderly conduct as counter-protesters clashed with them and police arrested 22 people. Islam should be resisted because it is evil, it is destructive, it is heresy introduced by false prophets, according to Lorenzo Sewell. This article further reads, the march against Islamification was to prevent, the purpose that they did this. In Dearborn, Michigan. Dearborn, Michigan, by the way, is owned, operated, run and controlled by Islamic leadership. The police headquarters, police officers, all the council members, those in the fire department, those that are mayors, et cetera, in Dearborn and surrounding smaller towns are Islam. They've named streets after Islamic jihadist martyrs. They have taken the position as to the mayor of Dearborn, Michigan, told one Christian pastor, because the Christian pastor asked questions about what they were doing, renaming streets after Islamic jihadists, and the mayor was bold enough to say, if you don't like it, get out of town. And the day you leave town, we will pay for a parade in honor and recognition of your leaving town. This writer goes further. The march against Islamification was to prevent invaders from taking over the nation and Dearborn, Michigan. Sewell, a pastor who prayed for Donald Trump at the 180 Church in Detroit, Michigan, and then at the president's inaugural Washington, D.C., harshly criticized Dearborn civic leaders for racism against black people and for favoring Islam. We are one nation under God, he said, indivisible, the God of the Bible and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sewell told the Dearborn council members, accusing them of running the city under Sharia law. As a spiritual life director, he acknowledged people might question the success of reaching Muslims, but giving the demographics, we need to take a stand. And ladies and gentlemen, it's a four-page article. Time won't allow going into the details. That's the summary of it. But we need pastors like that across America. Not just one, not just some, but we need every pastor. If you're saved by grace, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you honor the Word of God, if you believe that our future destiny as religious liberties and freedom of speech are in jeopardy, you need to take a stand, preacher, pastors. Come out from under the bed, come out of the closet, grow a spine, and stand for truth. Some might say, well, you know, that's pretty harsh. It's meant to be. I believe it's time we understand. And I'm quoting from demographers of yesteryear that said, no nation will go any higher morally, ethically, and biblically than its political and spiritual leadership in the nation. And I believe we're seeing that come to fruition even today. But under the leadership of those running today for office under the Socialist Marxist Communist Party, those that are running today wanting Sharia law, Sharia law simply meaning Quranic law, Sharia law talking about Islam and what they've wanted for the past 1,400 years in the total domination of the world, the government that they're looking for, burning the present down, taking the ashes and rebuilding a new form. They want to pack the Supreme Court. They want to cancel the House and the Senate. They want to close all prisons and jails. They want to have no borders, with open borders for the world to come in. They want to have no ICE agents to patrol those illegals coming in. They want to have no one that's in charge and in control of the flow of the world coming into America. They want to have free health care, free housing, free food, free transportation, government-controlled manufacturing. When you hear a socialist Marxist communist say they want to control the means of production, that is a dog whistle, silent signal. We will control government entity, and we will control the corporate entity that produces food, clothing, and shelter, and manufacturing of all goods in America. That is 100%, not partial. It's 100% communism, ladies and gentlemen. And I believe we need to recognize the dangers thereof. We're in trouble as a nation if we're not concerned about it. All of this, ladies and gentlemen, simply put, says communism is on the rise. It says that we are looking forward to taking over America. And ladies and gentlemen, those that said that, they have the potential of doing so in this election. And it's the millennial age group that is at the control of carrying that out. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. We're looking into this. Listen carefully to this headline and then two brief paragraphs. We're looking into this. Housing chief announces the probe into federal accommodations for Sharia law. There's two agencies that buy and sell all mortgages in America. They're called Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. You may never have heard of them. I won't go into details. Simply, they're the ones that a bank lends you the money. The bank then takes that loan package, sells it off to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to produce more funds for them to go back and make more loans. Simply put, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac reportedly marketed products that would comply with Islamic lending rules. The chief of America's housing agency has confirmed that there's now an investigation into claims that there are federal programs accommodating for Sharia law, that is Islamic law, the punitive set of requirements for Muslims that include such things as such things like killing infidels, those who don't abide by Islamic rule. He said authorities are looking into claims that actually have provisions to participate in home financing arrangements marketed as a compliant, as being in compliance with Sharia law, end quote. Article further says the report says that Winters, that's the person that's posting it, information suggests that there are specific federal loan codes for Islamic finance mortgages, and they're specific about financing that is intended to comply with Islamic law. Ladies and gentlemen, you ought to know very clearly what they say. Here's a loan, and it has no interest. It's top-loaded. Let's say it's really a half-million-dollar loan. They add $250,000 for 30 years of interest. So the Islamic says he's not paying interest because under Islamic law, Sharia law, they're forbidden to pay any interest on any loan. And therefore, we have banks today, mortgages today, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, that's now complying with the demands of Sharia law. Explain that to me. Tell me how we've fallen to that position in America. And I could go on and on and on. For example, in multiple blue cities in America, that is the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrat run cities, multitudes of them have streets named after Islamic jihadists. Multitudes of them have the Islamic police force. Multitudes of them have places in their cities that the secular police will not go because of the dangers therein. Ladies and gentlemen, we're rapidly witnessing the Islamification of America right under our nose, and with so many Christians today and Christian pastors and churches and denominations that refuse to acknowledge it and to warn the people sitting in the pews. May I say, there's a need to wake up before it's too late. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that the millennial age group have been taught in our prestigious colleges and universities that communism is okay, capitalism is bad, America is racist, America is bad, Christianity ought not to be, Christianity should never be protected, etc., etc. And Islamic jihadists must rule with Sharia law, that's based on the Quran. Most people do not know this. This might come as a surprise to you. I have before me a summary article about the life and belief of Karl Marx. Let me just read you some selected paragraphs that sets the stage for what is so dangerous for America. Karl Marx was obsessed with Satan, the deadly truth about socialism, subtitle. Almost two-thirds of Americans under 30, listen, this is the headline starting, almost two-thirds of Americans under 30 years of age now hold a favorable view of socialism. I ought not have to read any further. The mayor of New York City is one politician who's leading the charge, proudly calling himself a democratic socialist. Zohran Mandami says he wants to create publicly owned grocery stores, fare-free transit, universal child care. He also wants to ban extreme wealth, telling NBC's Meet the Press, I don't think that we should have billionaires because, frankly, it is so much money in a moment of such inequity. Senator Bernie Sanders and Representative Ocasio-Cortez have also helped boost the popularity of democratic socialism in recent years. They will tell you they want to help people, but the socialist principles they espouse come through a very troubled man, Karl Marx, according to historians. If he was not a Satanist obsessed by Satan, historians say he might have accomplished. The author of The Devil and Karl Marx says Marx was also a playwright, a poet, and his writings included many references to Satan and hell. Cites Marx's poem. It comes from Karl Marx's pen. Listen. The Pale Maiden, written in 1887, thus heaven I forfeited, I full well know. My soul once true to God is chosen for hell. In The Fiddler of the Player, in 1841, the same decade when he wrote the Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx wrote, see the sword? The Prince of Darkness sold it to me. for he beats the time and gives the signs. Even more boldly, I played the dance of death. Goes on to say, Marx the man was somebody, this is what historians say, Marx the man was somebody very lazy, refused to work, did not take care of his family, his home, even himself. He refused to bathe. He smelled, had boils and sores all over his body. Marx's Communist Manifesto calls for the abolition of religion and calls for a family unit to be as being disgusting. Last year's Democratic Socialist America annual convention in Chicago called for the abolition of the traditional family and, like Karl Marx, compared marriage to prostitution. One attendee said abortion should be done in our churches. This is the final statement. It seems as if some of those pushing democratic socialism might be confused about what socialism actually is. Ladies and gentlemen, that should frighten the socks off any listener that recognizes what I've just said. Out of the 10 major points of Marxism, I boiled it down to 3. Dissolve the nuclear family and to divide the nation ethnically and dethrone God. Those are the 3 prongs of Marxism that's being pushed, portrayed as being good, and carried out in America today. I believe I have Lily on the line. Lily, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. Thank you for what you're doing, God helping you. Demonic forces, Karl Marx, communism, socialism, since the 16th, 17th century, mm-hmm. along with Islam, is today before our eyes in an unholy alignment with the goal to bring down the United States, I believe, as preparation for globalism. Mm-hmm. America today, as I see it, will not be able to survive it. Had not it been for God's intervention in 2016 in raising up Donald Trump and putting him in leadership, I think America will be far gone by now. Today, just as you have been saying, it's far gone. Well, what I understand of Islam is that it operates in 3 stages. The first stage is to migrate to the country. The second stage to populate in the country, and the third stage is takeover.
Yes,
that is when they get into government.
That's a good summary of it, Lily.
Yes. I think we are in the third stage with them, as you say, in the coming election. So many will be seeking. America has been careless. All of that should not have been. We are really far gone. But for today, I would think that the only thing that can rescue us, and again, with the mercy of God, is if believers were alert and wake up, and should have been giving Donald Trump wholehearted support in what he's doing to clear the culture of wokeism. He has been courageous enough to be attacking it from the very beginning and trying to restore sanity. The church, believers, pastors should be 100% behind him, giving him support in what he's doing.
Absolutely.
Instead, some believers stay aside, saying that Trump is wicked, there is no perfection in humanity. When God wants somebody to work with, he selects somebody that he can work with. That don't mean they're perfect. And believers need to wake up, because that's the only thing that can rescue us now. That if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from the wicked, I would hear from. That's what we need at this time. God
Amen.
Hearing.
Lily, I don't believe I could have summarized the statement any better than you've just done. That's exactly correct. And it's my prayer today that Christians listening, conservatives listening, pastors that are listening, will wake up and sit up and understand the vital necessity of vetting the candidates, local, state, and nationally, as to who we put in office, who we cast our ballot for, because it will determine the destiny of our nation. And when I say that, I'm primarily talking about the survivability of our Bill of Rights, most especially our religious liberties, our freedom of speech, our right to keep and bear arms, and the search and seizure that will not be possible as long as we have the Fourth Amendment. All of those things being said, Lily, you're exactly right. God has divinely appointed Donald J. Trump, and I believe that it behooves us to recognize, listen, as you said, he's not perfect. He may not even be a saved man, but he's been divinely appointed by God. God has a purpose. God has a plan. And listen, we need to, as you've just stated so, articulated so well, we as Christian conservatives and pastors need to stand with him, pray for him, ask God to give him wisdom and protect him. Most are not realizing the fact that there's been an attempt on his life seven times an attempt to take his life. Satan hates him because of his stand to preserve the Constitutional Republic called America. Lily, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that phone number is 904-831-0917. Listen, let me just articulate a few things that's taking place today in relationship to Christians and what is happening to Christians in America and in the world. Here's a headline that says, Christian motorist is denied insurance coverage due to having Jesus loves you message on the side of his car. Here's another headline, Virginia denies tuition aid to a Christian student pursuing religious major. That article is basically this. Liberty University student is taking legal action after Virginia revoked state tuition and aid due to her religious major. On Tuesday, August 11, 2026, prominent legal groups petitioned the U.S. Supreme Court for equal treatment after Liberty University student Bethany Hall, Virginia state-funded scholarship, was revoked because her religious courses of study. Ladies and gentlemen, because she switched majors and started a major in Christian education and Christian music as the major. As a result of that, they canceled her student aid funding because of a religious nature, and they're challenging that now in the Supreme Court. Here's another headline. Court cancels city's use of patron saints. Police because patron saint of police because image is affiliated with Christianity. Officials in Quincy, Massachusetts built a bronze statue of Saint Michael and Archangel and to place it outside the public safety building for police and firefighters as they capture something ordinary citizens and civic plaque cannot. Courage that runs toward danger rather than running from it. But they cannot be used. It cannot be used because of the decision by the city and from the state Supreme Court that they are representing Christianity, and that can't be done in the city of Quincy, Massachusetts. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on and on. Here's a headline. Pro-life group reportedly kicked out of a coffee shop and compared them to the KKK because they were pro-life group. Listen to this briefly. The founder of a well-known pro-life organization has gone viral in recent days after reportedly being kicked out of an Idaho coffee shop after the owner learned that she was holding a meeting for pro-life students. President of the Students for Life of America shared a video which purportedly took place, and I'm not going to read the name of the coffee house, and the video went viral. According to CBN News, the coffee shop owner, I'm not giving the name, made his displeasure known after she and her son and others met to discuss pro-life issues inside the restaurant, the coffee shop. Her son's goal has been to rally people against Proposition 1, an abortion measure that would be on the ballot in November. We're recruiting door knockers. We've had students go door to door educating people in Idaho about the extreme abortion ballot referendum, which sadly many people do not know about. She said, noting that her son rallied people online to come and to meet to form a pro-life group to address the issue. The coffee shop owner intended the coffee shop was the intended gathering place for the group's first meeting. We purchased the drinks, we paid for our food, she said. Some other leaders in the community arrived, came to join us, and when the owner came out of his office and was told that the group couldn't, and told us that the group could not meet in the shop, and we had to leave. And then he even slurred at them that pro-life people are just like the KKK. Ladies and gentlemen, that's on the fast track in America already. These issues where Christianity where the religious leadership, where religion, Christianity, the church, and evangelism and Christians are being booed at, banned, and dissed as a group of people. Headline says, Maine, that's the state of Maine, Supreme Court rules that a mom cannot take her daughter to church. The Maine Supreme Court has unanimously upheld a custody order prohibiting a mother from taking her 13-year-old daughter to her church or to any religious event. The court reportedly also upheld that she can't expose her daughter to any religious beliefs like the Bible without approval from the girl's father. The state's high court heard an oral argument last fall, a battle pitting judicial authority against parental rights and the First Amendment. Liberty Counsel, a faith-based nonprofit legal group, has been representing this person and has asked the Supreme Court to take up the case. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on and on with what is taking place in America today. That's demeaning, dissing, and disapproving of morals and ethics and values called biblical Christianity. And I believe it's time we recognize that this election can either put that on pause, stop it completely, or it will open Pandora's box and unleash the demonic forces to destroy the churches in America. Listen, if we lose this election, we will lose our religious liberties and freedoms. And we already have a major, major, major apostasy taking place in Christianity today. George Barna 2 years ago said in 24 months, one out of five churches would close in America. He said we've got 360,000 churches, one out of five will close. And listen, it's being silent, going under the radar. But as churches close many times, the Islamics will buy the place and open a mosque across America. We've got, I think in America today, some 3,500 mosques in America. 30, 40 years ago, we had one mosque in America. We're looking at today a major, major push to overthrow and destroy our constitutional republic by Islamification of America and the socialist, Marxist, communist push to control the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to pray. It's time to seek God's face. It's time to vet the candidates. And it's time to make a determination that we're going to vote based on morals, ethics, and biblical values. Nothing more and nothing less will save America. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You've been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
We all have our favorite.